Like much of North Carolina's economy, the $25 billion a year tourist industry has ground to a halt because of the coronavirus. On the Outer Banks, where the economy depends almost entirely on visitors and on summer, the timing could hardly be worse. WUNC's Jay Price reports.
As you come into Nag's Head after crossing over from the mainland on the U.S. 64 bridges, one of the first businesses you see is Sugar Creek Seafood Restaurant. Except visitors aren't allowed to come over those bridges right now, so the restaurant, which would normally have just opened for the season, remains closed. Irvin Bateman is the owner.
The bad part for us is, you know, we're a seasonal business, and like the other 300-plus restaurants here on the Outer Banks, and we're all in this together. That's the other thing. It's not just, you know, Irvin at Sugar Creek. It's everybody's in this together, and everybody's in the same situation.
Just as seasonal businesses like restaurants and gift shops were reopening for the handful of months when they have to make a year's worth of income, Outer Banks officials decided the safest way to manage the pandemic was to bar visitors until at least April 30th. It's unclear when and under what rules things will reopen. Like everyone else on the Outer Banks, Bateman deals almost routinely with setbacks from hurricanes. He says three big storms have flooded his restaurant in the past 3 years, but he's never faced this kind of uncertainty.
75% of all the business I do is done in those summertime months. Now, I'm going to lose probably May. I've already lost April. So I got June, July, and August that I've got all the business I should be doing. If I don't do that, what am I going to do? My guess and my hope for us would be the fact that maybe the end of this month, by the 15th of May, maybe we can open up in some fashion and salvage some kind of season.
But he's had to tell his 46 workers who are on unemployment all he can do is guess. Across the Outer Banks, business owners and their employees are following the news closely and wondering what this stew of upcoming federal, state, and local decisions about reopening will mean for them. Bateman said he's been going through the possibilities in his head. How to keep surfaces everywhere in the restaurant disinfected, how to arrange tables for more spacing, how to deal with whatever rules he's eventually given to work with.
We have to let it be presented to us, and then it's our job as business people to think out of the box completely differently, improvise when we can. You know, it might be with more outdoor seating, which would benefit me because I have 40 seats out on the water on a deck that's completely in open air. I've got two gazebos. I've got one gazebo that sits 45 people for private weddings and so, and it's open air. That would be something that would benefit me, but it's not going to benefit someone in a strip mall that's got 15 seats and they're in a closed area. It wouldn't benefit them. So, I mean, how do you address all these issues?
But he doesn't know what rules he might get or how customers will react. Some may be reluctant to dine out even months after it's allowed. Other people may decide a vacation doesn't make sense at all or may no longer be able to afford one. Few people right now have a better sense of what would-be Outer Banks vacationers are thinking than Clark Twitty. His family business, Twitty & Company, manages 1,100 rental homes on the Outer Banks.
Just about everybody in our industry is trying to figure out what kind of demand may return on the other side of this restriction, but also how to ramp back up very quickly while simultaneously figuring out how to ramp back down very quickly.
Meaning ramp up quickly for a shortened season, then do the normal ramp down as the season trails off. A normal season, he says, follows a bell-shaped curve for reservations, a curve that would normally be starting now with a trickle of rentals, jump sharply after school lets out, then trail off after school starts back. His workforce is about 140 year-round, but rises to 500 in the summer. Already, property managers are having to refund rental money through the end of April when the local shutdown order ends. It's unclear what happens after that.
We are not seeing right now whole-scale cancellations, although we are seeing some. So right now we're optimistic, but it's complicated.
More than half who are canceling reservations for spring are rescheduling for fall or next year, he said. But the complicated part will come if the closure is extended and restarting comes in phases of some kind. Then, when the Outer Banks are open for everyone again, it's possible some vacationers will be under orders in their states to stay home. Twitty said the immediate effects of the pandemic will be on what he calls the three R's, restaurants, retail, and real estate. But visitors so dominate the local economy that if much of the season is lost, there'll be a cascade of effects, some of it because tax receipts to the local government will fall.
Over the horizon, we'll see impacts to our school system, our nonprofits, our governance resources that I think are going to take months, if not years, to play out.
Dare County Commission Chairman Bob Woodard is one of the local officials who's trying to figure out how to restart the Outer Banks economy. He's a member of the Dare panel called the Control Group that made the decision to stop access. He said it's begun work on a plan for reopening, and whatever the terms, they should be announced far enough ahead so business owners are ready.
Certainly the challenges are going to be the plan and how we just can't open the doors for a huge flow in here. We've got to be able to give our restaurant folks an opportunity to get back up and running and get staff in. The other challenges is giving our property management firms ample time to get their places open up in time so that they can handle an influx. It's just a multitude of challenges for all of them.
Some of the biggest challenges are on Ocracoke Island at the southern end of the Outer Banks. Hundreds there, including commercial fisherman and gift shop owner Albert O'Neill, were displaced last September after Hurricane Dorian.
The house is still being worked on. We're still working on it daily. And the gift shop is pretty close to being able to move stuff back in it.
He said many businesses needed a good summer to help them get back on their feet, and instead now may have to close for good. Twitty, the property management executive, said the coronavirus could change the nature of a vacation on the Outer Banks. He says that when members of his wife's family visit from Texas, he points them to restaurants and other places and activities that regular visitors turn into annual family rituals. Not all will be open this year, and some may be gone for good after the pandemic.
The takeaway from that is I think our families, our vacationing families on the Outer Banks, may this year have to invent some new traditions. So I hope that front porches and beaches and laughter and little kids squealing as they run back and forth to the waves. My daughter does that, and it's one of the happiest moments of my life. I hope all those things are intact, but I'm a little worried that the restaurants that we enjoy, the tacos that we enjoy while we're sunburned in our swim trunks, I'm a little worried they may not be there.
There's no question now that some families will have to change their annual rituals. One of the longest-running vacation traditions in the state, attending the summer outdoor drama, The Lost Colony, won't be possible. The organizers looked down the barrel of all that uncertainty and canceled the season for the first time since World War II. Jay Price, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.